He's going to stir some stuff up and try to mess up. Just let me know when we're ready. And you just got to be prepared for it. I mean, this is the time of year that it is. Amen? It's warfare time. Just going to get these where they don't hit the microphone so well. Let me know when y'all get it. We ready? Fired up. For those of you who are listening by recorded message, we just want to thank you for listening to the Hungry Hearts teaching on Teshuvah. It's that time of year again, y'all. You remember, some of y'all came in just about this time last year. And so we're going to go through Teshuvah and a thorough teaching. Teshuvah means to repent or to turn back to Torah. And a lot of people, especially some of the Sunday teachers, want to teach on this as a way of you giving your money. Teshuvah means to return to the Torah. It doesn't mean for you to give an offering to somebody. And it is important for us to remember that this season of Teshuvah is about preparation for the fall holy days. You're returning back to Torah for the fall holy days so that you are ready and prepared. It doesn't really have to do with anything else. You know, a lot of them, they like to get on there and have, you know, Teshuvah, and you buy Perry Stone's teaching. Perry Stone does some good teaching, all right? I'm not trying to diminish that. We're not going to take it from where and redo what Perry Stone did. We're going to take it from where Perry Stone left off and carry it on, because where he falls short is that he does not keep the fall holy days. And by not keeping the fall holy days and living them out, he loses a lot of the important meaning. Okay, it's one thing to study the Hebrew, it's another to live it. If you don't live it, then your understanding is only skin deep. But if you'll walk it out, as the Lord told Coleman, he'll work it out. And it's the walking it out that gives you the extra dimension. Look, as I said before, one of the greatest things from my background is that we took the Torah on a clean sheet of paper and just lived it. You know, you go to a Messianic group, and what they do is you live their traditions, and if you happen to catch some of the commandments along the way, that's great. Look, God wants you to live the commandments. If you happen to catch some of the Jewish tradition along the way, that's great. You know, it's not the tunas that have good taste, it's the tunas that taste good. Come on, some of y'all are old as I am. So then, in 2008, the first crescent of the moon is going to occur somewhere around Monday, September 1st. And you see, what's important in this is the sign of the moon is important. And a lot of folks have missed that also. And I hate that for them, but there's a lot of stuff in here. First of all, the moon is dark for three whole days. Yeshua was in the grave 3 days and three nights. When the first crescent of the new moon is sighted in the sky, they said the moon is born again. Y'all didn't get that. Now, two witnesses have to see this in the sky and tell it to the high priest. And the Lord announces his arrival with two witnesses in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus said, no man will know the day or the hour. If you're going by the full of the dark moon, you can know it to the second. No man knows the day or the hour, because the first crescent has to be sighted in the sky, reported to the high priest. When he's satisfied that it was actually seen, they blow the shofars that announces Yom Teruah. They did not know the day of the hour, but you can know the season. And the season is the day of trumpets, Yom Teruah. They call it Rosh Hashanah, head of the year, because they start the year over again. Okay, well look, the ancients were not so precise as we are. We've got to have it down to the second on the clock. Okay, the ancients, it was just a fall holy day season. They stopped what they're doing, they came to Jerusalem, and they celebrated a feast. When they went home, it was the new year. Right? As you walk this out year to year to year, that's going to be your practice. It's not so much Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah. It's the fall holy day season, and when it's over, you get back to work. Trust me, when the holy days start kicking in, you go to work and you're going to find yourself going, I just really can't get into this. I just really don't care. I know I'm supposed to do a good job, but I don't care. It's holy day time. I want to go to the feast and party. In the Lord. In the Lord. Be very clear on that. Everybody gets on me for all this. But anyway. So, Teshuvah will run from September 1st to September 29th. And this is the season of you turning your mind, your thoughts, your life back to God. This is the season of getting your act together. This is the season of turning yourself back to the Torah. And so the things that we talk about all the time, observing the Sabbath, keeping the holy days, following the dietary laws and tithing, these are important. And when you're sitting down at Teshuvah saying, I'm going to go back to the Lord, these are the main four key areas that you sit down and you say, this is how I need to turn my life back. And so you look at where you did well this last year and where you fell short this last year. And so where you fell short, you got some work to do. And where you did well, you can move on that and take additional ground. And so we also use this time of year to make your own personal goals for the year. New Year's resolutions in January are no good because the year starts in September. That's why it doesn't work. It's not real. Okay, so this is the upcoming time. When you leave out of the Feast of Tabernacles, what are you going to try to achieve for the year? So as you look back, all right, I think I was around 50% at Pentecost of my goals. I don't think I got a whole lot more done after that, but okay. So out of the 50% I didn't get due, I'll look at some of them and I'll say, well, you know, this one here really wasn't worth doing. Scratch. This one over here really wasn't worth doing. Scratch. Oh, but these over here, now they're not just important, they're urgent, so they go to the head of the list for next year. You follow what I'm saying? There's health things to think about. We didn't cover this too well in Jackson, but, you know, we're going to fast on the Day of Atonement. Okay? Some of us like to drink a lot of coffee. Okay? Well, if you don't get the caffeine out of your system before atonement, guess what? You're going to nurse the mother of all headaches. And trust me, it's not going away. And so, you know, when we come into the presence of the Lord on atonement, do you want to be getting a word from the Lord and getting to see great stuff in the Spirit, or you want to be over on the floor nursing your headache? Come on, I've done it both ways. I've done it both ways. I've drank that last cup of coffee right before sundown and took four ibuprofen. Okay? About 3 o'clock the next afternoon, the headache is coming on, Jack, and there ain't no stopping it. Look, I have spent atonement afternoon sleeping off my caffeine headache. Not cool. You don't get to see much that way. All right, now, so there are preparations for the fall holy days. That's what the whole season of Teshuvah is about. Some people want to run off with one teaching or another, but that's basically what it boils down to. Now, there are things we can do with this season of time. We can either spend all month getting our act together, or maybe we can spend all month not getting our act together, and then you got 10 days grace from the Feast of Trumpets to the Feast of Atonement. But why do it that way? You know, let's get on this. Let's take this season of time that God has given us and let's really get after it so that we can really do well with it. Why don't we get our act together in the first week of Teshuvah? Why don't we get right with the Lord, get straight with the Lord, fess up our shortcomings and sit down and make out the list of our goals and our plans and our finance, etc., so that we're ready to take ground for the kingdom of God in the second week? You know, we talk about, Perry Stone does, the days of awe and the seasons of our joy. The days of awe run from the Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement. Why don't we really use the days of awe for awe? Because the Lord will do awesome things for us during that 10-day stretch of time if our eyes are on Him. But if we're messing around all month during Elul, the days of Teshuvah, and then we come up to the days of awe and we're not right, we're not square, then we're going to miss all that. So let's resolve to the first week, let's get right with the Lord. The second week, let's take ground for the kingdom of God. And the third week, I got something really special to talk about that's going to be even better. So this is an important time of the year. It's an awesome time of the year. And it's a time of the year where we can really, really, really get on fire for God. But the first thing we have to do is look at ourselves and get right. So what kind of person have you been? God is going to judge the world on September 30th, which this year is the Day of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is the Feast of Judgment. As a matter of fact, in Jackson, if you go upstairs to the temple and look at the temple glass, the stained glass window for the Day of Trumpets is the shofar and a scale, a set of scales. God is going to put you into balance on the Day of Trumpets. How are you going to fare? Now look, most of us have read through the Torah at least once. So according to His rules and according to His laws, when He puts you into balance, how are you going to measure up? When the Torah is on the other side of the scales and you're in the other, how's it going to do? Can you measure up to the Torah? Well, none of us really are going to measure up to the Torah. Pastor will have a sin list like everybody else. Now, it's brought out in Jackson. I didn't explain that. We're going to make a list of our sins and we're going to burn them on the Sabbath before atonement. We do that because that's our way of saying, these are my problems and I don't want them. I want them gone. We talked about how the smoke that comes out of there, that fire, is the dirtiest smoke you'll see all year. Excepting, of course, when we do it at Passover. But we do these things to say that I acknowledge who I am, a sinner saved by grace, and I don't really want to be a sinner. I don't really like doing the things that cause my Lord to suffer and die. I just realize I'm in a body of flesh. So I'm going to come clean with the Lord. And there's an important reason we're going to get into in a little bit why we have to do that. So now, have we been naughty or nice? You know, look, back in the day we kept the pagan days. We used to say that. Have you been naughty or nice? Santa Claus is making his list and checking it twice. But let me tell you something. Yeshua really is making a list, and he really is checking it. And hey, it really does matter. This is not the fiction of some pagan philosophy. This is a real God putting you in very real scales and asking how you measure up. The way to do it is to fess up all that stuff that doesn't measure up and ask God for mercy and forgiveness, because there's grace in Yeshua. There's grace. There's grace. But you don't get grace where you're still being a mule. Come on now. When you're still fussing and acting up and saying, justifying yourself that you can still do it that way, he's not getting grace on you. You see, you decide how much grace you get. If you're willing to fess up and change, then he's willing to pay. But if you're willing, if you're just going to be mule-headed and stubborn and say, well, I can do it if I wanted to, well, guess what? You don't have to get forgiveness if you don't want to either. You know, God is real. And we get forgiveness and grace where we will bow the knee and acknowledge our transgression. But where we're still being bullheaded and trying to justify ourselves and saying, well, I can do what I want to do. Well, you know what? We can do what we want to do. We can take our little tail right on in the lake of fire if we want to also. And he's not going to stop us from doing that. We have to make the decision. I don't want the lake of fire. I will bow the knee, Lord. How you want it, I will get her done. Come on now. I mean, he's real. This is a real time. Should we be allowed to live another year? Should we have blessing this year, or do we need a spanking? God's not like our cycle babble. He's going to spank us when we need a spanking. He's going to deprive blessing when we need blessing deprived. He's going to give us trial and hard time to turn us around. See, somebody waving that fly swatter. I've been spanked with a fly swatter as a little kid. I've been spanked with a fly swatter. Look, the Lord is real. He's not going to play games with us. You know, there's another hurricane brewing down in the Caribbean. We all in America ought to be waking up. We can't keep living like pagans. We're the descendants of Israel, and we've got to act like it by living His Torah. If we don't return to the Torah, then we're going to have problems. Real problems. Do you need His presence? You know, obedience brings blessing. Surrender brings presence. Surrender. Man, we're in the South. They don't like to hear that, Miss Jean. In the South, we don't like surrender. I don't know what it is about us. There's something wrong with us Southern folks. You know, but we've got to surrender to Jesus, whether we like it or not. Okay, well, when you surrender to Jesus, Jesus said He's Lord of the Sabbath. Are you keeping it or not? If you're not keeping the Sabbath, you're not surrendered. What about the holy days? You see, if we're not going to take off on the holy days, we're not surrendered. What about the stuff we put in our face? If we're going to eat stuff God calls an abomination, we're not surrendered.
That's right.
What about tithing? If we don't follow the tithing system, we're not surrendered.
That's
right. See, Teshuvah, it's time to get into all this stuff. We do it again at Passover too. We've got to look at where we're out of line with the Word of God and get back in line, because Teshuvah means return to Torah. So, I don't know. We're not going to have police to come to your house and see where you're out of line. You've got to do it. Because as we talked about in the message on freedom, you see, it's your free will you've got to bend. It's not Pastor Bill bending your will. It's you bending your will. You have to have freedom to make up your own mind to surrender to Him on the areas where you're out of compliance. Not Pastor Bill come and beat you on the knuckles with a ruler and make you do right. Okay? You've got to make that decision. That's what Teshuvah is, the bending of your will to return to His. And we talk about these main key items. Look, I could get off on stuff in the Torah like don't plant your garden in the seventh year. Okay, that's real and genuine. But that's not nearly as life-changing as you having to go into your boss and say, you know, I can't work anymore on Friday night and Saturday. I could talk about not eating the fruit off your trees till the fifth year. And that's real. That's just as real as the rest of it. But that's not as life-changing as having to go in on the 29th and say, you know, I can't come in on the 30th. I'm sorry. See ya. See ya on the 1st.
Ah! Oh!
Okay. This is real stuff. This is real stuff. I could talk about when you find your neighbor's belongings on the road and you have to hold it until you can restore it to them. That's all in the Torah. That's all real. But you know what? That's not nearly as life-changing as getting that paycheck and peeling that top 20% off. Oh. Oh. That's real. I could talk about a lot of great stuff in the Torah. But until we get our basic life pattern walking out these main items. And I always come back to these main items. These are the four main items that Cornelius had to live to receive the Holy Spirit as a Gentile. The Holy Spirit did not come to Cornelius as your example as a Gentile believer because he was living the life as an Italian. It came to Cornelius because these are the four basic tenets of life he was living. And because he was living these, the Holy Spirit fell on him. And so this is where we go first before we start getting into the finer points of the law. Mind you, the finer points of the law are just as important. Just as thorough we need to be on them. Fathers, are you leading your family into the truth and into the ways of God? You know, it's very easy to order your family to follow the ways of God. It is another ballgame entirely to lead them by your example of obedience to Christ. You see, when the family looks at the father and he surrendered and the Sabbath is important to him, he keeps it, then the family doesn't have to be ordered to keep it. They want to follow. When the father is living the example of these are the holy days of the living God and I'm going to observe them and this is the way I'm going to live, then the family naturally wants to follow along. You see, we're supposed to lead our family into this by the example of right conduct, not the harsh oppression of telling. Oh. Oh, that hurts. That hurts. So I didn't get quite the cheer I got in Jackson when I said that. I mean, the ladies were really eating it up down there, but mothers, I don't think mothers realize how much power they have in their families. I really don't think they realize that God has put the power and the authority of the kingdom of God in the hands of mothers. I don't think y'all realize that. Because you know what? When the Sabbath comes along, are you making it special the family wants to celebrate it? When the holy days come along, hey look, y'all make the food, okay? I don't think you realize how much power you have in your hands when you make food. Huh? Come on now. Hey, you can lead a man anywhere you want him to go by the food you cook for him. Okay? Is all the festive holiday food coming out for God's holy days? Huh? Hey, that is 90% of festivity in the human life is the food you put on the table. If you're putting the festive, holy food on the table, the good stuff, the stuff that everybody... Are you doing that for God's holy days? Because that's what makes it special. Ladies, you're the ones that decorated the house for the old pagan days. Are you decorating the house for God's holy days? Are you making it special family time? I hear ladies all the time, well, you know it's pagan, but it's family time. Well, man, forget doing that on them sorry pagan days. Do it on God's holy days. Make it special. Make it so special everybody remembers. And they'll be coming around next year going, are you going to do that again this year? For that trumpets thing you were talking about? You see, you got the power in your hands to make it right for the family. And if fathers and mothers and children will turn to God's holy days and make life special and festive and celebratory, guess what? Your family next year is going to be wondering, hey, is that coming up again? That was fun. I like that. They only want to do the Satan's pagan days because they're making a big deal out of it. We need to be making a big deal out of God's holy days. The holy days are what you make them and what you put into them. If you make very little in them and you put very little in them, no one's going to remember it. What kind of passion and zeal and excitement are you putting on display for the world for God's real days? If we're not putting much on there, no one's going to remember. But you know what? When that time of year comes around, you know that time. You can't go anywhere they're not playing the music. You can't go anywhere it's not decorated up. So what is your life? Are you a walking, talking billboard for the kingdom of God and the holy days of God at holy day time? I mean, they are for their small g God. Come on. What are we doing for God's kingdom? You see, this is the days of Teshuvah. This is the day to start putting our focus and our mind and our thoughts on God's way. No one needs to ask where we... You know, if people ask you if you keep Christmas, you didn't do a good enough job of keeping the feast. I'll tell you. Because if we're really keeping the feast, and it's on our mind, and it's on our lips, they won't be asking you about Christmas. They'll be avoiding you at Christmas. Come on. I've been through this a few times. We need to be such a walking, talking billboard for the feast of God, the feast days, the holy days of the living God, that they ask us where we're keeping them, because we're so excited and so passionate and so zealous that they're getting excited about it. You know, it's not the browbeating them over the head with the baseball bat, and I've done that. I've done that for years. I didn't do it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I must have done it more than a decade. What I'm saying to you, though, is it's the excitement and the passion and the zeal for the right things that should make them want to do it, not the beating them in the head. And I've done it both ways. That's why I can say, when you do it with zeal and excitement, and you throw books at, oh man, man, this is so good. Man, my whole life has been great since I started keeping the Sabbath. Man, you just ought to do that, man. Now, first they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Boy, what you been smoking? Man, I've been smoking nothing, but I tell you what, I got so high in the Holy Spirit at church, man, I could barely get up off the floor. It is great stuff. You got to come and check this out. Slowly, they'll come around. Slowly, they'll come around. The days of Teshuvah, putting God first. Over the last year, have you read the Bible through? That's a goal everybody ought to have every year, to read the Bible through from Tabernacles to Tabernacles. Well, if we didn't, we need to be thinking about it for next year. And if we did, we need to be thinking about repeating it. Because you know what? We're supposed to read that Bible through a lot. You can't load your computer up with that program unless your eyes are on the page. You know, amen? I mean, it's just that simple. If you want to load good stuff in, you got to do it. You know, we talk about brainwashing. And it has a bad connotation from some of the awful, tyrannical countries that did it. But you know what? It's in the Bible. Ephesians 5 says you're supposed to wash your mind with the washing of the water of the Word. Why do we have to wash our mind out? Because we live in this world, it's Satan's world, and dirty stuff gets in there. You can't turn your TV on, even on the Weather Channel, without dirty stuff in commercials at least, spotting your mind. So you need to wash it back out again with the Word of the Bible. And so we have to wash our minds constantly with the Bible. We need to make that goal to go through the Bible. You know, you can do it on 30 minutes a day if you'll get serious about the 30 minutes. I'm serious. From Tabernacles to Tabernacles, I've done it many times. 30 minutes a day, if it's serious reading, you can read that Bible through in 30 minutes a day. But it's got to be every day. Matthew 7. It's time to defrag your life, to defrag your mind, to defrag your spirit, to get right with God. You know, the problem is when we talk about getting right with God, most of us, or a lot of people, think about that other person that needs to get right. Oh, so-and-so, I need to get right. Well, you know what? We can't help so-and-so. There's only one person in this room that you can get right with God this year, and that's you. You can't get anybody else right with God. You can work on them and make them mad. You can work on them and offend them. Maybe they'll quit coming. But you know what? You can get you right with God this year. You can get you right with God this year. Amen. And, you know, the problem is we always think about that other person that's got that issue. You know that one. Yeah. Well, look, if we spend as much time looking at our issues as we spend looking at somebody else's issues, we'll solve a lot of problems in the Church of God. Amen? I mean, a lot of them. Because we can look at their issues all we want to. We can't ever figure them out. Because we didn't walk in their shoes. We don't have their issue because we didn't live their life. But we lived our life and we got our issues and we've earned them. And to Teshuvah, we've got to quit trying to justify our own issues and make excuses for our issues and just come clean with God. God, I got issues. Amen. Hey, you can't go to rehab till you fess up. Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Man, we're all going to be in the scales on September 30th, okay? Pastor Bill's going to be in the scales on September 30th. And I can be sitting there going, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You know the stuff they're into. That's not going to change my judgment. My judgment is still my judgment. The only way to beat my judgment is to fess it up beforehand and confess it to God and get rid of it. Then I'm clean. Hey. I don't have to worry about being judged if I'll judge myself, as we talked about at Passover. Now he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the redwood forest growing out of your own face? Okay, it's time to take stock of some timber, y'all. It's time to do that timber inventory again. So we're going to make a sin list. You know, when you've got a redwood forest coming out of your face, you don't need to be worried about sawdust in somebody else's eye. This is time to get on the redwood forest and to take care of some issues at Teshuvah. Let's not look at everybody else. Let's look at us. See, we don't like that because it gets painful. Yeah, it gets painful. You know, Pastor Bill's going to sit at that anointed desk where he makes all these great messages, and he's going to have to pull out that blank sheet of paper and get real with himself and God. And it's going to be no less painful than when you pull that blank sheet of paper out at the place you do it and you get real with God. It's called getting real with God. But you know what? I'm going to ask you a question. During atonement, are you going to get to see the Lord? That's not a rhetorical question. That's a real question. During atonement, are you going to get to see God and get to have that come to Jesus meeting face to face on atonement? Well, praise God, I'm going to do everything I can in my power to make sure that I get to have that. And I'm asking you during this first week of Teshuvah to do everything in your power to make sure you get to do that. Because to me, that's the most important thing we're going to do all year, is go into atonement and fast and get to see the Lord and get to get revelation from Him and get to feel His touch and get to get word from Him. I live for that. I live all year for that. Man, people have asked me for years, what's your favorite holy day? Atonement. Well, man, I love to eat more than anybody else in the house. And I can make that claim before God with all sincerity and honesty. I love to eat more than anybody in the house. But you know what? My favorite day is atonement, the day I'm fasting. Why? Because I'm close to Jesus. That's why it's my favorite day. We'll eat when we're done. And we will eat when we're done. Oh, baby, we'll eat when we're done. But my favorite time is getting to touch Him and to see Him and to know Him. And to do that, we've got to go through Teshuvah. And we've got to get right with Him. Now, let's go to Leviticus 16. I want to show you something in Leviticus 16. We talked from Matthew. Let me know when I'm at the halfway mark because I don't have a timer up here. That's something we got to get for here's a timer. Verse 6. This is not talked about often. We talk about the goats on this day. We talk about the work of Yeshua on the cross, but there's something Aaron had to do before any of this could take place. Leviticus 16, verse 6. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin. Aaron had to make atonement for his own sin before he could even think about dealing with the nation of Israel. Verse 11. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. He's to slaughter the bull. And he takes it in to the ark. Look, before he could bring the goat's blood in to the Holy of Holies, he had to go in with the bull's blood. Before he could sacrifice the goat, he had to bring his blood in. Aaron goes in twice on the Day of Atonement, and most people miss that. Aaron has to go in with his own blood to make atonement for himself before he can even deal with the goats in the courtyard. And before we can make intercession to people, before we can take ground for the kingdom of God for other folks, we've got to get on our face before God and get right with Him and make out that sin list and talk about our shortcomings to Him. Then we'll be clean to go in the second week and to pray for all our unsaved family members, or better yet, to pray for our saved family members who aren't living right. Come on, there's a lot of saved people that don't walk by the Torah. There's a lot of saved... Hey, look, Corinth is a big city. To see only this many people in here on Sabbath. Why? Because they're all going to church on Sunday on the wrong day. Well, if we're going to pray for them folks, we got to get right with God before we can be legal to make intercession. Aaron had to offer the bull for his own sin before he could offer the goat for the sin of the people. And we have to get right the first week of Teshuvah if we're going to pray for other folks in the second. If we're going to take ground for the kingdom of God, we've got to get our own house cleaned up. And look, I can't make you do it. It's something you've got to do because you want to do it. This is something you've got to do because you want to go back to God. You want to turn back the Torah. You want to be right and clean and straight before Him. You know, the new year starts on September 30. We're going to look not just at sin, but we want to look at the good things we've done over the last year and the bad things. Why do we look at the bad things? I'll tell you why. You look at the failures you had over the last year because the devil's going to run the same place in your life next year. Okay? The devil runs the same place. Why does he keep running the same place? Because they work. We don't ever take the time to analyze what we did wrong, so the devil keeps running it to us. Running it to us. Running it to us. Because it keeps working. If you want to shake up the kingdom of the devil, you stop and you look at what you did wrong and quit doing those things, and that will mess the devil up real bad because he won't know what to do in your life for quite some few months trying to figure it out. That's always work with them. Why is it not working? I've always been able to entice them to do that sin. Why is it not working? That'll mess the devil up good. That'll be worth doing it right there. Overcoming sin, that'll be worth overcoming sin right there just to get the devil upset. He's always been able to get you into whatever it is that thing is. You know. He runs it every time and you fall for it. Hey, I do too. I'm not above it. I fall for the same stuff over and over again. But let's just get strong in Teshuvah this year. Let's get strong this month and show the devil that we're men and women of God, and that old mess he pulled on us last year, he can just take it home because we're not going for it this year. And that'll mess up the kingdom of the devil quite bad. Now, I want to get into the Sabbath. Why do I want to talk about the Sabbath? I'll tell you why. Because if you aren't or won't keep the Sabbath holy, then none of this stuff at Teshuvah means a thing. You're just going through the motions. Means nothing. There'll be no change in your life. No blessing to come. Exodus 31. Exodus 31 and verse 12. You know the beautiful thing about the Torah? It's always Yod Heh Vav Heh telling Moses. You don't have to worry about who's telling Moses, because it says who's telling Moses. Yod Heh Vav Heh is telling Moses. Okay, you can rely on it. It's the very word of Yod Heh Vav Heh. Then Yod Heh Vav Heh said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say sort of. He didn't say when it's convenient. He didn't say when the boss gives you off. He said you must. How important is it? What does he say after that? This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am Yod Heh Vav Heh who makes you holy. Put your name in there. It's a sign between him and you. You is you. My Bible, it would say William. In your Bible, it would say your name. It's a sign between Yod Heh Vav Heh and you that he makes you holy. Well, guess what? If you break the sign, he ain't making you holy. And look, I'm not trying to pound this or be ugly. This is the basic fundamental teaching of our ministry. I got challenged not too long ago by a man that said, you're trying to elevate Holy Spirit baptism to the level of the law? Yes! Because I didn't elevate it. Jesus said it in John 4. Spirit and truth. It was the same kind of language. You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You get into some of this language, there's nowhere to run and hide, man. It's either you believe it or you don't. God is saying that. Now, he comes on, it gets better. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on the day must be put to death. He repeats it. That's a double witness. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come. That's an olam, as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested. Old Testament? Old Testament? We don't have to worry about it? Is that really Old Testament? Are you willing to bet your salvation on it? Are you willing to bet your soul on it for all eternity? Are you? Old Testament? You don't have to worry about it anymore? Flip to Luke 16. Flip to Luke 16. Back in those red letters, man. Them red letters are hard words. Jesus doesn't cut any slack to anybody. Luke 16, verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 27. He answered, Then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Oh, no, we're back to Moses. Dude is in torment. And he's begging Abraham for help. And Abraham says, they've got Moses and the prophets. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they'll repent. Abraham said, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if somebody comes back from the dead. These are red letter words. Jesus said every bit of that. So I don't care what you think about the front part of the parable. The back part is telling you right there, if you're not willing to listen to Moses and the prophets, you got issues. Okay? And we read from Moses that you got to keep the Sabbath holy or you don't know Yod Heh Vav Heh. Now, we could go to Exodus 16, but we won't, where it says that there's a special Sabbath covenant. If you're out of Sabbath, you're out of covenant. Why do we always come back to that? It's simple. It's Teshuvah. If you break the Sabbath, you're not going to have any prosperity. I don't care if you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't care how many shifts you work or what you do or how great you are with a pencil. If you don't keep God's laws and commandments, the prosperity is not coming to your house. I can't stop it. You can't stop it. That's the Word of God. I want prosperity. Actually, living in a life of flesh, I need prosperity. You need prosperity. We all need prosperity. We need good things to come to our lives. But when we are blowing Him off on the Sabbath and blowing Him off on the holy days and eating what we want and not tithing, guess what? It's not coming. To me, I've never understood why people don't want to tithe. I don't pound on it because I've been abused by ministers in the past who made a big issue of paying the tithes and then went out and lived a reprobate life and pilfered the church funds, and I just have an issue. And I've shorted you in that, and I apologize for it. After the feast, we'll really get strong on time. God is making a deal with you. If you give Him 10%, He's going to get in your life and get in your business. He's going to make it stretch when there it has no way to stretch. He's going to make the blessing come when you didn't have a blessing coming. He's going to make it work. The shoes don't wear out on your feet. The clothes don't wear out on your back. Look, I've been through poverty and dire necessity and hard times and dire straits, and clothes would come to my house for my children. So what if they were used? They were new for us. Clothes would come to my house in giant garbage bags full. We would have to give away excess because we couldn't take all the clothes that would come to us. $5.50 an hour at the rest area. Come on, y'all. Ain't nobody been lower than that. That's a bad job. Midnight shift. $5.50 an hour, brother. And we carried a family of four. I think I stood up and did our $1,000 budget. If I can tithe, double tithe on $1,000 a month, every one of you can do it. Why? Because God said He's going to get in your life and make it work where it doesn't work. God said He's going to get you where you need to go when you don't got a way to go. How do you go wrong on that? Look, if I'm going to do all that for you and we have a covenant, I'm going to want a lot more than 10. I'm going to maybe want the 90 and you live on the 10. Come on now. Every one of us is going to be the same way. None of us are going to get in somebody's life and make it happen and get it going and provide all the blessing and make it all work out and for 10%. I mean, that's the bargain of all time. I mean, how do you not get involved in that? I mean, press hard, five copies. I mean, sign me up now. Well, I mean, really, you know, this is the lifestyle God Almighty laid out in His Torah. And Teshuvah means to return to it. So if we're not returning to it, guess what? You didn't Teshuvah. You didn't make Teshuvah. Teshuvah is to turn around from where you're going to where He said to go. Coming back. That's just what it means. And we do it for the fall holy days because trumpets is the day of judgment, and He's judging your whole year. He's judging your whole life on that day. And buddy, you want to be right. And a lot of people make a lot about the 10 days of grace. Forget the 10 days of grace. You know why we forget the 10 days of grace between trumpets and atonement? Because they're also known as the 10 days of awe. And if you've made right with God on the front end of this, there is a special blessing on those 10 days. And I'd rather you get right now so we can take ground for the kingdom of God. We can get into that intimate, sweet place of worship before trumpets is over. And we can go through the 10 days of awe, and they're really awe, and not begging for, "I'm sorry, Lord, I blew it." Well, let's not blow it. Let's do right. I mean, I can't use greed anymore. I'm the ambitious pastor. I want a lot for you. I want you to have a lot of blessing. I want you to walk in a lot of God's power and presence. I don't want you to be trifling along, barely getting a little flyby in the Holy Spirit, barely getting a little blessing every now and then, really doing 90% of the work yourself. I want you walking in God's abundance and prosperity. It follows from obedience. You know, obedience brings blessing. Surrender brings presence. Surrender brings presence. I don't live this lifestyle anymore because it's a bunch of rules in the Bible that I was told I had to do. Now, yeah, I did start that way. How much? Half good. Now I do it because I want His presence in my life. I want to feel His touch during the week. I want to know that I live in the presence of Yeshua, my Messiah, and that He's carrying me through everything that I do, everywhere that I go. I love that. And I want you to have that for yourself as well. I mean, how many of y'all have felt that since you've been coming? Some point in your life. See, it's worth it. It's worth it already. Now, the tribulation's right around the corner. We don't want to play games with God. We're living in a time of the end. I believe the word of the Lord that Coleman gave to me during the worship was that His kingdom is right at the very door. Tell the people that. Was that close? His return is right at the very door. Tell the people that. Why? Because that's what gets us motivated to get moving. As long as we think, I got 20 years, I'll get around to it sometime. Man, if you thought it was this trumpets, I guarantee you, we would have Teshuvah this month that would blow everybody's mind. Think about it for a minute. If you really thought that sometime between the 29th of September and the 1st of October, you were out of here, baby, our life would look a little different next week. Amen? How do you know it's not? We've got the book back there, Come Away With Me. We didn't get into that, probably should have. How do you know it's not? You don't know it's not. You know the season, but in addition to not knowing the day and the hour, you don't know the year either. Every single season of Teshuvah from now to the Lord returns, you better treat it like He's coming back that year. Because if He comes back that year and you're blowing it, you'll be left behind. Who wants to be left behind? That's not cool. Especially when you learn the Greek. Left behind is divorced. It's a Hebrew marriage. Those who are taken, that word is paralambanod. They're paralambanod to the wedding. The others are divorced. Not cool. So we must treat every season of Teshuvah from here on out like this is the season of Teshuvah before the Lord comes back, because we won't know till we hear the shofar blow. And the companions of Saul only heard thunder. They didn't hear the voice of the Lord. So if you're not ready, you won't even know you're left until it's over. We've got to treat every single one like it. We've got to make sure that our daily walk is there, because we don't know when it's coming. We don't know if this is the year. Hey, how would you feel if this was the year? If you're ready, you'd be loving life. It's the year. It's the year. Praise God, take me out of here. But if you're not ready and it's the year, oh, you'll be feeling some bad now. There ain't no words that I can say in church that, I mean, you'll be thinking them and feeling them, and for real, it will not be cool. But if you're ready, because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. I really think that the bride is doing this stuff because, you see, if you're not doing Teshuvah during Teshuvah, how will you be prepared when He comes back? Ooh. It's important. Now, what we just said about the Sabbath applies to the annual Sabbaths, also known as the holy days. We're coming up on the fall feast days. The fall feast days are the feast days of what's happening now. The feast days of what's happening next. Passover's done. So we celebrate it. But Passover's finished. There was the Passover lamb in Egypt, the type of the Messiah Yeshua who was to come. It's finished. He's done it. Pentecost. You had the type of the pouring out of the fire and the law of God, and then you had the ultimate fulfillment with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's finished. What's coming up next? Trumpets. And nothing has been done on that day in history ever. You've got the type of the rescue of the church, then you've got the ultimate fulfillment with the return of Yeshua to rule and reign. All of it is yet future. It is the feast of what's happening next. Atonement. They had a nice ritual. Nothing on atonement's been done. Nothing. We're waiting on putting the devil in the bottomless pit and having all of the sins of the mankind confessed on his head before he goes in. I want to be there. I want to watch that sorry dog go in the hole, and I want to see the mouth of it sealed over on him. I want to see that with my eyes. And what's after that? You've got the Feast of Tabernacles. Nothing in the past happened. Oh, God conveniently talked about him living in booths in the wilderness, etc. The whole meaning of tabernacles is the coming of the kingdom of God. That has not happened yet. The forerunner type will be our 7-year wedding celebration in heaven, and the fulfillment will be Jesus ruling on earth for 1,000 years. How can you blow these days off? How can you blow these days off? If Passover was so important that if you failed to keep it, you died in Egypt. Y'all didn't get that. If Pentecost was so important that if you went on the mountain, you had to be shot through with an arrow. What do you think about the days coming up? The entire future fulfillment, the entire purpose of a Christian is all laid out in the fall holy days. Trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. How do you blow these off and expect God's going to say, it's all right? He's not enough to hear himself talk. He's staked the whole future of the kingdom of God on the meaning on these days right here. They're important to him. And whether or not we keep them is showing him how important they are to us. What value do you place on his return, the removal of Satan the devil, and the ruling of Jesus on the throne for 1,000 years? How important is it to you? Should be important to save your feast tithe and go keep it, right? Come on. You're putting the entire value you place on his kingdom and his plan of salvation on how you keep these holy days or how you fail to keep these holy days. And look, we're not pounding on people to be ugly. We're just showing you from the Word of God where we need to be and what we need to do. Now, if you blow off trumpets, what kind of judgment do you think you'll get? If you blow off God on the day of trumpets, what kind of judgment do you think you're going to get on the day of judgment? Now, do you really want to spend all day on atonement begging God for mercy because you failed to take off work on trumpets? Wouldn't you rather just come on trumpets and get a good judgment so that on the day of atonement you can get in His presence and bask in the glow of His glory and touch Him and see Him and get that revelation from Jesus? I mean, that's the way I look at it. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but I mean, I think I'm looking at it right. Now, how do you skip out on saving feast tithe? I've been doing it since I got saved. Because fortunately, praise God, I was saved in a church that's the way they did things. Wasn't anything special. I just got blessed by God. When you save feast tithe, you can go to the feast days and celebrate them. And if you don't save feast tithe, you can't. I've been through this all through the years. Friends, neighbors, relatives, similar churches, didn't want to do it. But I've been able to do it on $1,000 a month. Now look, I've had better years and I've had skinny years. The skinny years, you take what tithe you got and you head on to the feast. Walking in faith that God is going to make a way. As He told Coleman, you walk it out, I'll work it out. You know, sometimes you ain't have enough. Sometimes you don't have enough. Matter of fact, there might be a lot of years you don't have enough. But I know one thing. If you are faithful in little, He'll be faithful to make it happen. Because I've done it too many times. And I've had good years. Okay? Now, good years, you can't spend it all. Well, I take that back. I can't spend it all. Now, Mrs. Schultz can spend it all. But in good years, you look around for those folks having a bad year. Amen? Nehemiah 7. Send portions to those who have none prepared. So, good years, you look out for other folks. Bad years, you're lucky, you can't even take care of yourself, so you're just going knowing that God's going to make it happen. Okay? So you go anyway with your lack. And so, this is how we have to do it. Now, I would like everybody to turn to Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. He talks about a tithe. But instead of telling you to give it to Levi, he tells you to eat it. Well, I don't want the tithe after Levi's had it, okay? This is a different tithe. Some people try to mix it up. Well, you take your first tithe, you give some to Levi, you do some to this, you do some of that. That's not what he said. He said, take your tithe and give it to Levi. Okay, Levi is not the home office somewhere. It's the local Levite in your community. You brought him your tithe. Okay, if he's teaching you well and everybody's blessed, he got a lot. If he's not teaching you well and everybody's not blessed, then he starves. So he's got an incentive to get right. He takes a tithe of what you gave him and he sends it off to Jerusalem to take care of the priests serving at the temple. That's how God's system works. But now God is telling you to take this tithe and to take it to the feast days and eat it. Code name, the place he chose to put his name, which was Jerusalem. We're not going to Jerusalem this year, are we? Okay, that doesn't mean you don't keep the feast. It means you keep it here. And look, how do we have this? We have how many thousand years of Jewish diaspora? Okay, they don't keep the feast days anymore because they're by their tradition they've made the commandment of God of none effect. We're not going to do that. We're going to keep the commandment of God in effect and we'll let their tradition be of none effect. Because His commandment's more important than their tradition. But you don't live in the land to go to Israel. Now, hey, if you have enough and you can go to Israel, hey, that's what you need to be doing. Amen? Praise God, one day we'll get there. Matter of fact, I'm saving up feast tithe right now out of property sales. We sold two pieces of property and I double tithed it. And the feast tithe was set aside in the feast tithe fund. And I'm not pilfering it, my choice of words, for everyday feast. That's for 1 year we're going to Jerusalem, praise God. And we're going to keep the feast right there at the Wailing Wall. Of course, how you pry me off of those rocks to get me back home, that's another ballgame. But you save tithe because you've got to go to the feast. God does not expect you to go to the feast without money to keep the feast days. He's a very practical God. We're the ones that make it impractical with our traditions. God's simple rules were, take it. Now, how do I know what I'm talking about? If you drop on down a couple of verses, it talks about if the way is too far for you, take your tithe of cattle and grain and whatever and turn it into money. God says silver. Silver was money. They didn't have coins in ancient Israel. They weighed out the silver. Shekels were not a coin, they were a unit of measure. Weigh out the silver and go. Then what does he tell you to do? Buy whatever you want. Buy whatever you want. Now, in the Schultz household, the ladies want shoes. Okay? They want shoes. No matter what bad happens in the family, if there's a shoe sale going on, makes it all good. Makes it all good. Now, of course, obviously you've got to eat during the feast, so I have to have a hard time bridling them back. Save some tithe to go out to eat, because you got to eat. We're not cooking at the house during the feast. See, that's another good thing. Guys, you can give the ladies a break. Let them go eat out so they don't have to make all this food. They love it, and they'll love you for it. So save enough of the tithe before you buy clothes and shoes to make sure you can eat out. Now, look, some years you're going to have good years. And you can prepare portions for those who have no portion prepared. You can grab people to go to you at the restaurant that came there on faith alone to keep the feast days. That's a bigger blessing than shoes, believe it or not. And a bigger blessing than your wife being happy because she gets to eat out and not have to cook all the food. Come on. Amen. Praise God. When you can bless somebody else who's especially just coming in and didn't know to save tithe all year, you can bless them by taking them out. That is a phenomenal blessing of God to be able to share His rich provision in somebody else's life and show them God's way works. See? God's way works. It works. It's a way of life. And the whole point of Teshuvah is to get your life lined back up with that way of life He gave us in the Torah. It works. Man, I've been doing it for 22 years. The only time it didn't work was when I did something stupid. Lean years, fat years, it always worked if you do it His way. The only time I've ever had a trouble in 22 years is when I got stupid and didn't do what I was supposed to do. And I have. Amen? Teshuvah, time to fess up. Time to fess up. 88. Go in there, separate out tithe, separate out feast tithe. No money for groceries. Baby in the house needs food. Justification. God doesn't want us to starve. No, God wants to test your faith in Him. No, He doesn't want you to starve. But you know what? Missing a couple ain't going to kill me. Come on. He wants to test your faith because He's giving you an opportunity to stand up and be a man or woman of God and do what you're supposed to do even when it hurts. Will you be tested? You better believe it. The more you fail to pass the test, the more you will be tested again. Till He's sure you're going to finally get on board and do right. Okay? I skipped second tithing 3 times in a row because God doesn't want my family to go hungry. I lost my house over that. I would much rather have had my faith tested and me pass than to have my faith tested and me lose because that was not cool. That was not cool. So when you hear Pastor talk about stuff, remember, I've done all these things already. You don't have to relive the pain and the suffering and the agony. Come talk to me. I'll tell you all about it. It hurt real bad. Yeah, you can borrow a lot of lessons here because I've made just about every mistake there is. Well, there's a couple I haven't made, but I've made a lot of them, and there's a lot of things I can tell you. If you do this, that is going to happen. You can count on it. Just go ahead and take the deposit to the bank and put it on in there because that will cash. Okay? You don't have to relive all of this stuff. You got old-timers in here that can tell you. Go through the test. God will make it good. Just go through the test. It'll be all right. Now, some of y'all are new to all this. You aren't prepared for the fall feast. So take the time off anyway. Take the time off anyway. Gather what funds you can and go keep God's feast days. I'll tell you why. Because this is a season of Teshuvah. And there's nothing like showing God you really mean business than just doing it. Am I right, brother? This man right here stepped out on faith. He said, if it's God's will, I said, it's God's will. And if you want it, He'll make a way. And God made a way. And he lost his job over it. So? God got you the job you got now. He can get you another job. Jobs are nothing to God. There's something to us. Because we don't have the faith to know that God's going to make it happen for me. If I'm willing to step up and do what He wants, God's going to make it happen to me. Look, I worked at the Midnight Rest area for 2 years. He made it happen there, and I didn't make enough money to survive. Come on, you can't carry a family at $4 or $5.50 an hour. Come on, are you kidding? It doesn't work out. God made it work out. I was willing to walk it out, so He worked it out. And you know what? I had hard years for a while after that, too. But God made it happen. God made it happen. I can remember fixing the car just so we could drive to the Feast of Tabernacles, and it took a third of our feast tithe. And I thought, there ain't no way, man. There ain't no way. And God made it where I could stay with my parents because they lived at a place where the feast was kept. And we couldn't hardly spend our money because our friends all knew we were broke. And they wouldn't hardly let me pull my wallet out. They slap my hands down. I'm going to reach for my wallet. Look, after that, when times were a little better, but not a lot better, we kept a feast site with my aunt and uncle because they lived near a feast site. They wouldn't let me spend any money. Well, you know, we need to get some drinks. No, what do you need? Well, it'll all be here when you get here. Would not let me spend it. And kept telling me, put your money back in your wallet. Take it home with you. I kept trying to explain that I have to spend my tithe during the feast, this feast tithe. They didn't want to hear that. You put your money back in your pocket, take it home with you where you brought it. I had to sneak off to the feast site and pay for stuff for somebody else to spend my feast tithe. Now you think about the blessing of that. You're blessed so abundantly that the little chump change you brought to the feast that wouldn't have bought you five good meals, you got to go spend it on somebody else and bless them because you're so blessed you can't spend your own money. God does stuff like that, but you've got to trust Him. Look, I wrote somebody an email about tongues. You've got to trust God. That's the hardest part for people from my background, is to trust God enough to give up control of your tongue and let Him speak through your tongue the way He wants. That takes a lot of trust, amen? Well, if we don't trust Him with our checkbook, if we don't trust Him with the days we take off, how do we trust Him at all? You know, we got the holy day calendars back there. Got new holy day calendars. You got all the way through 2016. Take them into your boss when you get a job. These are the days I got to have off. It's the same way with school. You know, the parents that had problems getting their kids out of school were the ones that waited to the last minute to ask. I told them when I brought my kids. You didn't hear me. I didn't ask them if my kids could be off school. I brought my calendar and I told them when my kids wasn't coming. Ask for my kids to be off. I'm a man of God. My children will be with me at the holy days. You got something to say about it? We'll talk. If you don't like it, you can just come to the house. Because my kids are going to the holy days. These are the days they will not be there. Of course, they have a little harder time in college. So they only get holy days off. But they take the holy days off. Why? Because they're the holy days. So, Teshuvah is the time to make up your mind. I don't care what I did in the past. This is the time I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to do it God's way. These are the main tenets that He set out in the Torah for me to carry my life. And I'm going to make up my mind to trust Him and to believe Him and to walk this way. Because you serve the living God. You serve the only God. You serve the God whose name is represented in this book by four Hebrew letters, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. He brought down fire from heaven on more than one occasion. He has rescued His people from Pharaoh's army in the sea. He has moved heaven and earth. You didn't hear me. He stopped heaven and earth for Joshua to conquer armies. He turned the clock back 15 minutes for Hezekiah. He's moved heaven and earth for His people. And if you make up your mind to walk in His ways, to follow Him the way He said, to live out what He told you to live out, He'll make the way. It doesn't matter what kind of test you got to go through. He stopped the lion's mouth in the den for Daniel. He stopped the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Nebuchadnezzar said, "Bow to my God." And they said, "No way, buddy." And if you'll stand for Him, He'll stand for you. So what if you miss a house payment? I've lost houses. I've lost cars. I've had more than one wreck. I've walked away from it all because my God makes it happen for me. Because I'm going to make it happen for Him. If you blow off His plan of salvation, He'll blow off your plans for the year. But if you'll stand with Him and you'll serve Him and you'll obey Him, if you'll surrender to Him, He'll lift you up to places you can't even imagine. Right now, somebody give God some praise in this house today. Some of y'all have heard this teaching and didn't quite follow along. You don't have enough to do everything you want to do. I'm telling you right now, in the name of Adonai Yeshua, you take what you have. You take those days off. You walk into those holy days and you keep them the best of your ability with what you got. God will make up the difference if you'll make up your mind to get right with Him. Teshuvah is all about the getting right with God. And if you'll say, "Lord, I made mistakes, but I'm turning from them. And I'm going to do the right thing this year. And I'm making plans right now in concrete that I'm going to live your way of life. I'm going to walk out your plan of salvation." Then you know what? He'll make it up for you. And some of us are old timers. We've been doing this a long time. And we've been tested many, many times. we have our tithe, and we're going to go to the feast days. We didn't even worry about having off. It's just we're not going. You know, I've told them many, many times, if I can't get subs to cover, then my business is closed. I don't care. I don't care. I've been through it enough times to know that on the other side of this, God will make it. I don't care if I lose my house. I love my house. But I figured the God that blessed me enough to have that house can bless me enough to keep that house. I know that the God that blessed me enough to put me in a situation to build this little bit of nothing wealth I got can bless me enough to hold on to it and grow it and magnify it or whatever else. But whether it stays or whether it goes, my obedience is never under question because I'm going to obey Him no matter what. I will obey Him in lack. I will obey Him in plenty. I will obey Him in hard times. I will obey Him in family strife. I will obey Him no matter what because I know my God, He's my friend. And so we take what we have and we go keep His holy days. We take what we have and we conform our life. We make the Sabbath the highlight of every week. We make the holy days the highlight of every year. We come to Him with our tithes and we celebrate before Him. Look, we've already had word we're going to have presents at the Feast of Tabernacles to blow our minds this year. But you know what? He's going to bring His presence. But how much of it you know about is a different story. Because you see, there's sending and receiving. He's going to bring His presence in the hall. Do you want it? Are you hungry for Him? Well, it depends on how right you get your life. Because if you're really hungry for Him, you'll get your life right because you want His presence. You know, how much presence you receive is going to be dependent upon how right you make your life and how right you get with Him and whether you fess up your sins and you make your changes in your life. You know what? I want His presence more than I want my next breath. So I'm going to make it right in my life. If she doesn't make it right in her life, that's her business. I'm making it right in my life because I want His presence in my life. And He's going to bring that presence and I want to experience every last bit of it. There is none of His presence He's going to bring to Sukkot that I want to miss. None of it that I want to miss. It doesn't matter what I have to do. I will make it right because I want Him. I want Him. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 10. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse. Most every time you see that word tithe, it's plural because there's three tithes. In ancient Israel, first tithe went to Levi. Second tithe went to the holy days. And a third tithe in years 3 and 6 was given to the poor, the indigent, the needy, the widow, and the orphan to help them in their time of need and their distress. Bring the whole tithe into my storehouse. Now, we don't do third tithe anymore because the government is taking 5 times that amount from you and they're blowing it. They're taking the money from you to feed the poor, the indigent, the widow, the orphan, and needy, and they're blowing it. They literally could write every man, woman, and child in this country a check for $50,000 for those that make less than that and spend less money than they're spending on poverty programs. Okay? They're blowing the money. But first tithe is for the work of God. First tithe is for the preaching of the gospel. First tithe is to give out books and tapes and get messages out and pay for hall rent and all that fun stuff. Second tithe is for you to keep the holy days. I mean, there were pilgrimage feasts in ancient Israel. You had to travel somewhere. If you didn't have tithe, you weren't going to keep them. Okay? We live in a different world, a different level of prosperity. So yeah, you can get by without it and kind of fudge it and stuff. But you know what? When you fudge on His kingdom, when you fudge on His plan of salvation, you're fudging yourself. You're not fudging Him. You're not beating Him out. He doesn't need to eat your tithes. You're the one that needs to celebrate before the Lord, not Him. Bring the whole tithe in my storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much of a blessing on you that you will not have room enough for it. Man, if you want to open up the windows of heaven, you've got to make teshuvah. You make teshuvah by looking at your life and examining yourself, myself included, finding out where we're short and confessing them to God and making concrete plans to change. That's how you open the windows of heaven. If tithing is the issue, get right on tithing. If the Sabbath is the issue, get right on the Sabbath. If it's the holy days, get right on the holy days. No matter what you have to give up to be right, do it during Teshuvah so that you can open the windows of heaven. It's not always a financial blessing. What if all your unsaved family members got saved? Would that bless you? Would that be better than a raise? What about if all the people in the community that know you, they all got excited and decided they were going to live this wonderful way of life serving God? Would that bless you? The open windows of heaven come when you repent to God of what you're doing wrong. When you make Teshuvah and return to Torah, you open the windows of heaven. If we will do that in this next 7 days, then we can storm the heavenlies. Bad Pentecostal choice of words. We can beg for the salvation of people. We can intercede with authority for people. We can help others come to God. But like we read in Leviticus, if you don't take care of your own sin first, you've got no standing to intercede for anybody else. We have to acknowledge to God our transgressions and firmly set our minds on doing what He said. No more maybe. No more if it works out. No more if God provides. He will provide. You've got to trust Him. He's not going to provide anything to a double-minded person who's always back and forth over, I'll obey, I won't obey. I'll obey, I won't obey. I'll obey. James said a double-minded person's unstable in all his ways and will receive nothing from the Lord. We've got to make up our mind. I'm going to obey Him always so that God will step in and act. Will you be tested? Of course you will. He made Abraham bring Isaac and put him on the altar. You can believe we're all going to be tested. He made Daniel go in the lion's den. You can believe we're going to be tested. But we've got to have faith. And as we've talked before, that Greek word faith is the word pistis. It means you believe that you'll take an action. Not that you believe that you'll blow it off. It's believe that I'll take an action. I believe God will bless me, therefore I will not work on Shabbat. I believe God will bless me and I believe His plan of salvation for all mankind, therefore I will not work on holy days. I believe God's plan and He will bless me and that I can test Him on this, therefore I will bring my tithes in the storehouse. See, belief is action. That's why James says, faith without works is dead. Because it's an oxymoron. If you have faith, it means you'll act on it. Make up your mind right now to observe and obey the Lord right now, today, while it's called today. That is the whole point of Teshuvah. And if we'll do that, there will be a whole new dynamic in our lives that will turn everything around for the better.